My name's Peter Daniels and I was born in Leeds in 1946, and I went to work at Hunslet Lane Goodyear on the 2nd of October 1961 after I'd worked in engineering works for about 6-7 months, which I didn't like. I was 15 and a half when I went to work there, and I started as a messenger to start with, and I did that for maybe about 12 months or so. Then I became a junior leading goods porter. I worked in the warehouse, different warehouses around the yard. I worked on, and then I was trained up as a crane driver. And in 1965, I became a motor driver at Hunslet Lane as a relief. And I worked at Hunslet Lane Hunslet Lane was my home depot from 1961 until 1977, when I moved to Freightliners at Sturt. The reason why I finished up at Hunslet Lane was that I failed my medical on eyes, which meant that that particular time I couldn't work on the track side, so I got a job in the goods yard, and I did all sorts of jobs there. It was a massive yard. It had a four-storey warehouse, which had six roads, what they call road tracks in the warehouse. It had a large office at the front, which was a three-storey building. Offices all round the sides of it. There was also a large bonded warehouse, which was used for storing the alcohol and tobacco. There was an engineering section there, and Cadaker Street, which was the tobacco and bottling warehouse, which was the old passenger station, was on there. There was also a number of smaller warehouses around the building. It had four tracks that led from the yard to the main line about a mile up the cutting. And there was also a number of lines that run off to different companies around the yard, which was a gasworks, Brotherton's Chemical Works, Eldorado Ice Cream, Ferdinand's, which was a chemical works. Then on the other side, you've got Stuart and Lloyd's, had a warehouse that was rail links. And then you've got the rail links that went to Fowler's, Hudson's, Kitson's, Hunslet Engine Company, and various other places. And it was a massive yard.
It sounds like it was the beating heart of Hunslet.
Well, there was two yards in Hunslet. Well, there were actually three in Hunslet. There was one at Barm Road, which was just around down the line, and then another large one at Hunslet East, which was on the old GM, which also came under Hunslet Lane, as well as did Barm Road. There were all the goods agent ran them, all three of them.
And when you talk about the alcohol and tobacco, what do you mean there?
Well, what used to happen was that when alcohol, especially spirits and that was brewed, and tobacco, it travelled what they call under bond, which meant that the excise duty hadn't been paid on it. And it would be stored in the warehouse for a number of years. Like when whiskey was distilled, it used to come down to these bonded warehouses and be stored there for maybe 5 or 6 years before it was bottled. And it was actually bottled in the warehouse. They had a bottling plant, a firm called Gale, Listers and Thomas and Porter, as they call it, had a bottling plant on the first floor, and they would bottle wines and spirits there.
And those were the brands, the Scottish brands, like Scottish, Johnny Walker and
there were all Scottish brands, but a lot of the whisky was actually bought by Swiss banks. They owned a lot of it. But a lot of it was South African wine used to come, Australian sherry, and that would come in train loads, and we would unload it, run it down there. The customs and excise people would check it. It would then be stored in a cellar. I worked in that particular warehouse for about 12 months.
And the cigarettes?
It was tobacco leaves. It wasn't cigarettes. It was in drums. And that was sold to the tobacconists in the old days, when tobacconists would make their own tobacco, you know. It was, and they'd have drivers that would deliver it. And every dinner time, the man from the customs offices in Leeds would come with the checks to say what had been paid and what could go out and what couldn't go out. And we couldn't leave the bonded warehouse until the excise duty was paid for.
There must have been, how can I put it, a lot of temptation for the people who were working at Hunslet Lane then. Did certain quantities of alcohol and tobacco go missing?
Well, there was always what they call spillage. But the thing about working in the bonded warehouse was that we were in a continuous breathing in the fumes all the same. And they used to say that if you got guys coming to work in there off the warehouse that didn't drink, after an 8-hour shift in there, they used to go home drunk just by breathing the fumes in. But there again, most of the people at Hunslet Lane used to like a drink, because there were a number of pubs. It was surprising how many pubs there were around the yard, and they all had railway telephones in them. So if the foreman needed them, they knew where they were. But that's the way the railway was running those days.
So how many people do you think were working at Hunslet Lane then in the 60s?
I would think there would have been about maybe 300 or 400 people, because there was also the regional, what they call the regional accounts office for all the goods departments. That was on the top floor of the offices, and there must have been about 50 or 60 women worked up there doing the centralised accounts. I think the road fleet at the time was about 50 vehicles, which some were double manned, some weren't, and then I don't know how many people worked on the shed, but as I said, there'd probably be 300 or 400, maybe 500 people actually worked there. And there was also an engineering department, which was in Cadaker Street as well, which was all part of it. And there was also parts of the warehouse which were rented off to private companies, as well as all the coal agents that used to work in there, and other people that for other organisations. But it was a very high of activity, and they used the pilots, what they call the pilot shunt engines, they used to have three permanent pilot engines in that yard working all the time beside the trip engines.
And how many trains a day came and went with goods on board?
I would probably think about 20 a day. There was all what they call the trip ones, and the first train out on an evening was called the Scotsman, which would be pulled out at 6:30, dragged out from the warehouse and dragged down to the main line, where there would be a larger engine waiting to take it up to Glasgow. And that used to leave Hunslet Lane at about 6:30, and it would be at Glasgow. I think they call the place St Enoch's in Glasgow, and it would be there for 6 o'clock in the morning, which would take some going in those days to be there in 12 hours. But it was a very, very busy yard.
And the routine then was that during the day you filled up trains to depart, and they travelled overnight, did they?
Most of the trains travelled overnight. What used to happen was that you would pick the wagons as they came in on the day shifts or the night shifts, and then they'd all go, all the empties would be taken out, and then at dinner time, when all the vans had been picked in the shed, they would then put 110 what they call van fits, which were railway vans, in the shed for the evening's stuff to go out. And then on the far side of the where the big warehouse was, there was a big overhead gantry crane where all the steel came in. They've got 4 mobile cranes and a gantry crane that worked there, and there'd be a team of about 30 staff worked down there doing what they call full loads, which was direct loads. Each wagon, you know, what the actual wagon load was for one particular place. And the whole idea was to get it all the wagons that came in on that day was to make sure they'd all got emptied and were emptied and reloaded and out again.
And that was steel, all kinds of steel, for the engineering works in Leeds and the district?
We mainly did the south of Leeds, and you have to think that the number of engineering works that were in Leeds in the 60s was astronomical. And I mean, say the stuff was exported all over the world, and there was a lot of steel stockies. I mean, say we used to have one job. We used to go to John Fowler's and take 20 tonne of steel in there and bring 3 tractors out that were going to the docks for export. But that's the way it worked. You know, you went to Ferns, you took a lot of steel there, and then they bring the finished goods out to go away to be exported. But the main A61, which is the road that led out of Leeds through Hunslet in the 60s and up until the probably middle of 70s, there were engineering works all the way down there, which were renowned throughout the world. You've got Kitson's, you've got Hunslet Engine Company, you've got John Fowler's, all these people, all exported all over the world, and all this, and they were all made from the raw materials that we delivered to the firms.
And what other stuff went into those vans? In other words, stuff that had been made in Leeds went into those vans for the overnight.
Well, there would be, besides all that, there was all the clothiers and the cloth mills, because there was a lot of major clothiers as well. And also in those days, the British Railways, as it were known as common carriers, which meant that they couldn't refuse. If they were offered something to be carried by goods, it had to go on. They couldn't refuse to take it, so we carried all sorts of stuff, everything. We even had a cattle dock, so we used to carry cattle and sheep were brought in to go to the slaughterhouse. And then what used to happen at weekends is that if a train was on a long run, you'd have to take they would bring the wagons into the cattle, where the cattle dock was. They would empty them. The cattle trucks would be cleaned out. The animals would be fed and watered, as you said, and then put back in again to go on the journey. But it was always done on a weekend, always done on a Sunday, that job was all trained, because therefore they couldn't guarantee they'd get to the destination without having to be fed.
Because there were all sorts of laws and regulations about that, weren't there?
And the cattle and the sheep, especially cattle and sheep, they were driven, herded from the station down to the slaughterhouse, which was in Leeds. They were herded down the streets.
On foot?
On foot, yeah. They were taken down there back to the slaughterhouse, and that was always done in the early hours of the morning, that was. But, and then we used to also deliver meat that came from Ireland in containers, in the old wooden containers that are dry icing. We'd take those to the main wholesalers in the market. All the fruit and veg came on the trains, everything. Well, everything in those days was on the railways. I mean, see, when you came out of the main offices, if you came out of the goods agent's office, there was a veranda that ran the full length of the warehouse. And all you just saw was guys running around with barrows. And there was a massive big clock that timed it. And in the middle was the main shed foreman's offices, and there were foreman's offices at either side. And all the time there was a hooter going. They used to pull the wagons in with capstans that were all driven by water. So they'd pull the wagon in, they'd empty it, they'd put it onto this traverse, which would run across into the middle road. It would knock the chop and it would run out empty. And this were going all the time. And every time the hooter blew, they knew the wagons were going to move. And then they'd all go out empty. And at dinner time, because there were two shifts. There were three shifts. It went the three-shift pattern. When the dinner time shift used to finish about 12 o'clock, the next shift didn't come on while two. So officially, you know, this is what used to happen. They all went to, the shunters would then pull all the wagons out and reset them all up with empties for the evening. And then all the vans, all the vehicles would start coming back about 4 o'clock. When it were busy in the weighbridge, you'd have a weighman and a weighlad, which was the lad writing the stuff down. You'd then have a supervisor outside supervising traffic, because they used to cross the main road coming into the yard, so you got to keep them going, because you've got two weighbridges. You've got one for coming in and one for going out. But when it were busy, you'd use them both coming in. And you'd got to get all the vehicles in and emptied for about 6 o'clock, so they get everything could be on the trains and away.
And as a 15, 16-year-old, what was your job?
Well, I started as a messenger when I first started, which means I ran around with bits of paper, delivering stuff here and delivering stuff there. I then went to work as a waylad in a weighbridge, which is you'd have all the vehicles were weighed in and out. I did a bit in there. As a messenger, you worked, as you got older, they also worked with what they called office men, which were people that had what they called green card men, people that weren't physically fit, but hadn't been retired, and they would work with you. And you just went round and did what you were told to do. You know, depending which office you worked in, every office had a messenger whose job was to take messages, runners. There were telegram, we even had telegram lads that had a bike that would go out delivering telegrams to other places. I did that for about 6 or 7 months, and then I finished up going to work in the granary warehouse upstairs, and then I worked in the warehouses from then onwards until I became a motor driver.
And you became a motor driver in 65.
Yeah.
So what was that job? What was that job called, and what did you do?
You went to driving school for 2 weeks, then you came back, you did a week with the driver, then you went for your test. You were then given a unit, and on your merry way you were sent. When you first became a driver, you didn't have a vehicle, so you were sent to work in other yards around the area. I did that up until the early 1966, then I got myself a round, and I had what they call an out-of-town round, which was a rigid. And I delivered all round Shadwell, all Woodley, Moortown, Roundy, places like that. And I did that until 1967. And in 1967, when I became 21, I decided it was time to move on. So I went on to what they call the heavy vehicles, which you could do when you were 21, and went on the full loads. And I drove the full loads vehicles for a number of years, till the 1968 Transport Act came on board. And then the BR Sunridge division that we worked for disappeared and became the National Carriers, which was part of the National Freight Corporation. I worked for them until 1977 as a driver, doing different jobs. And then I left there and went to work at Freightliner.